Welcome back to Your Tech Report. For gadget news and reviews, click to yourtechreport.com.
Back on Your Tech Report, Marco Flalo, Montreal, Mitchell Whitfield in Los Angeles. Still to come, sustainability in this industry and tech. A lot of fun. Razor is coming up, and plus Ford. You know, Ford, they make those cars things.
They've been doing it for quite a few years now.
Yeah, they've been doing that for
couple
a little
of years.
Bit of time. So
years.
It's kind of cool.
Okay, so I'm intrigued. Mitchell, the way you left us at the break. So just reset what you said at the break, because now I was sort of like,
Well, I wanted to talk about our responsibility as kind of tech reviewers and, and people who talk to different companies. And the reason I bring this up is because Humane came out with their AI pin.
Okay.
You remember that product from CES? Well,
which a lot of people are confused by the way. Like what it really does, but go ahead, yeah.
Not only are they confused by it, but Marques Brownlee, MKBHD, came out with a review on Monday.
Yeah, we love him.
And the title of the review, I would love to tell you the title of the review. I should have prepared for this.
Yeah, why would you prepare for a show that we do every week? That would be professional. Who the hell would do that?
The worst product I've ever reviewed, ... for now.
So what do you think that means?
So I watched the video, and it's a very good video. Like, I mean, he does incredible stuff, a comprehensive review. I mean, this kid's been doing this for a kid. He's, you know, he's been doing this for a long enough time. He's got 18 and a half million followers. The backlash towards him in the comments on YouTube and social media saying, you know, with 18 million followers, you have a responsibility to not bankrupt companies. And the reason they brought this up is because months ago, he did a review of the Fisker Ocean. Fisker is an electric car company, and they were struggling in the first place. And his review came out, and it basically said, "I'm trying to find that review, but it was like the worst car he's ever driven."
Okay.
And days within that review being published, Fisker filed for bankruptcy.
Okay.
And people, because they love to sensationalize things, they basically said, "Well, his review bankrupted the company." So
not true, but go ahead. Yeah.
So you know, all these comments come out, and even other tech reviewers were saying, oh, you know, you've got 18 million followers. You have more of a responsibility. You shouldn't have bashed them like that. But if you watch the review, he was very impartial to it. He talked about what it was supposed to be, what they said it was supposed to be versus what it did and what it doesn't do.
I immediately have thoughts on this, by the way, but go ahead.
And he was very, you know, he was negative about the negative of things that were due, you know, things that were valid, you know, and he was said that, you know, at the same time, though, this is a company that has a lot of money behind them. They've got raised a lot of capital, $300 million+. They've got former Apple engineers behind the helm. This is not just some startup that's going to go bankrupt tomorrow. And it's a company that had the balls, the kahunas, to actually. Am I allowed saying that on the radio? We'll find out afterwards.
I think you can, because there are a lot of balls in sports. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had the kahunas to actually put up a new product when the market is not necessarily ready for something like this,
right,
and try something. And he said, listen, there's a lot of room for improvement here, but what they promise it delivers is falling far from what they're actually promising. And he immediately responded back to a bunch of people saying that, you know, you and I disagree with what my job is, number one. And then he got to the point where there was so much backlash, he actually put a video out afterwards basically saying, do bad reviews kill companies? And it was him in his car just talking to the camera saying that, you know, do bad reviews kill companies or do bad products kill the companies?
Right.
And I'm kind of bewildered by this, because it reminds me and brings me back to this DOJ lawsuit against Apple, which in my mind, just like the Microsoft lawsuit back in the 90s, you're penalizing a company from being successful. And that's not fair. You know, you want people to thrive and pay their taxes and contribute to the economy. And the second they become too successful for your liking, you go after them for something and say they're anti-competitive or they're a monopoly. And I think that attacking any reviewer, regardless of how many followers he has, and saying, how dare you, you have a bigger responsibility. Yes, he's happy to be successful in what he does and have 18 million followers. But whether it's 18 million or one, I think that he's doing a great job. And I think anybody who questions that clearly is just jealous.
Okay, so a couple of quick thoughts. To answer your question of like less than a minute ago, bad reviews don't kill companies. Bad reviews of bad products kill companies. Okay? It's not one of the, I mean, you know, that's my whole point. If you have a bad product and that's outed by many people saying, hey, it's not good, and the product is genuinely not good, that's going to kill a company. You can't blame, you know, don't shoot. It's like the old joke, don't shoot the messenger, right?
Yeah.
I will tell you this, though. And I'm a huge Marques Brownlee fan. I have been for years. I think he does great content. He takes a lot of pride in production and content in honesty, transparency, which is like honesty, but a little bit different. But here's what I've noticed lately, and here's the only problem I have that makes this a complex issue. The problem I have is that recently I've seen the titles of his videos becoming more clickbaity. Okay, for those of you who don't know what clickbait is, because some people listening do not, clickbait is a title of a review. This is the worst. I almost died shooting this. I'll never be on YouTube again. This is my last video. Any YouTube title of a video that immediately grabs your attention with the intent of making you click on it, only to find out later on that, okay, it isn't as bad as we thought. It isn't as, the title was slightly misleading to the content, you know, based on the content. So, you say it was a very fair review. It wasn't meant to be a bashing review. It was, he talked about stuff that he liked about it. He talked about how it fell short. I find lately that his titles are a little clickbaity. And I guess clickbaiting came around for people that wanted to get people onto their videos, maybe didn't have a lot of subscribers, but they were trying to get a subscription base. And they were to create these sensationalized titles to get people to click and go to that video and get those clicks on there and get that money from YouTube. Here's the thing. Marques doesn't need it, number one. He doesn't need clickbait titles. He has 18 million followers. Doesn't need it. Doesn't need sensationalized stuff. And also, is it really necessary if the content of his review was going to bear out, you know what? They promised this. They fell way short. They need to improve. This needs to get better. That's a very clinical way of saying, hey, there's no negativity here toward the company. Like, I have nothing against the company. They just didn't deliver what they promised. When you title that video that's being honest, and it's not positive, but it's not clearly anti that company or product, it's just honest. When you take that title and say, this is the worst product I've ever reviewed, that doesn't need to be there. It could have said, the title easily could have been, this is a tough one, or does it live up to the hype? Does it live
falling
up to what
it's- Falling short of the hype.
Fall short of the mark. It didn't need to be, this is the worst product I've ever reviewed. And this is coming from someone who loves Marques. But I can tell you, someone clinically, I don't know him. He's not a friend of family. I just love his work and I'm a big fan of his. The title did not have to be what it was. The title was, you know, unnecessarily cruel to an already negative review. But that was going to be a fair review, but not biased toward, I really hate these guys, I'm going to bury them. You make titles like that for things that, you know, you know you're going to hurt. You know you're going to hurt somebody by titling something like that, regardless whether it's he's responsible for burying the company. That I don't believe, but you're certainly not helping. So I will say that title, to me, is the only thing that I think is unfair from a guy who I think is very fair, and who you say and I didn't watch it, but now I'm going to, and you say the video is fair, just pointing out the negative aspects of what they did. He didn't feel like he was bashing in the video, right?
No, it seemed
but
to
the
be-
the title like, is bashing. The title is unfair.
Yeah. I think with the title, honestly, I think when you watch the review, the title matches the review. It matches, it's like, this is a horrible product for now. You know, it reminds me of that How I Met Your Mother episode from many, many years ago where there was an ex-boyfriend and she kept breaking up with him and saying, you know, but maybe we'll get together, maybe one day, maybe, you know, there's always a glimmer of like, maybe for now,
right.
You know, and you're kind of giving like that it's like, you know, yeah, no, I don't want to commit to that for now. So you're leaving that opening, like you're always, you know, it reminds me of you're leaving an opening. So you're never really closing the door on something.
At the end of the day, when let's take this to a world that I came up in, which is the entertainment industry, the movie industry, right? A critic doesn't like a movie, whatever it was, didn't like the performances, didn't like the script, didn't like the theme, didn't like the way this movie was structured. The title of the review is, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. And then he proceeds in, or he or she, whoever, or they, whoever's doing the article, okay?
Yeah.
They're doing this article and they just clinically point out the things about this movie they did not like. The title alone, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, is enough to hurt a film because it depends on people hearing buzz and word of mouth and going in. Is it necessary? Is it necessary for reviewers to be unnecessarily over the top with the titles? Because listen,
What if he had 1,000 subscribers?
What if he had 1,000 subscribers? It wouldn't matter. It would be like somebody screaming in an empty room. No one's going to hear it.
Or it's, you know, it's I need to come up with a good title so that people click on this, but it's
that's what I said. He didn't need that. But still, again, again, that would be clickbaity and still unnecessarily cruel, I think. Listen, Mark, we started as a website that reviewed products and then transitioned SiriusXM to talk about stuff every week, right? When we had people, and I'm going to tell people this on the air, when we had products, people were sending us stuff. We were very fortunate. Even when we were just a website with not a lot of people coming to it, people were kind enough to send us products to review. If we came across a clunker, a piece of garbage, a horrible product that someone sent us, we would not review it. We call them or we email them and say, hey, got the product. It's not great. And we don't want to go on and just kill this thing because in the current form that it's in right now, it's terrible. So either we review it at a later date when it's more, you know, when you guys fix it, or you tell me these things are getting fixed and we can at least put in the article, hey, here are the problems we have with it. But we talked to the company,
this didn't work.
And they say they're working on improving this because, again, especially with the radio show, we have an hour every week with people. I'd rather talk about stuff that we do love. Now, I know that's not realistic. If you could talk about negative things, of course, there are going to be negative things that come up. But I think as a reviewer, again, I mean, Marquez, again, is very different from us, both in scale and just in approach. But it's like, is it really necessary to post articles like this is the worst? And honestly, I expect a little more from him because I think his work speaks for itself and the reviews speak for themselves. If they're negative, he's always fair in the negative. But I think that's an unfair title to give a bad product. Does that make sense?
I completely see your side. I completely see your side. And I think there's many different opinions and different ways that you could look at this kind of argument.
That's right.
You know, there were some people that were saying that it was a racial thing. And I think that was pushing it.
What was a racial thing?
They said because he was a black man that people were making calling him out for doing this kind of thing. It's ridiculous.
That doesn't even make any sense to me. I don't
know. And that's the thing. I think that the fact that he felt that he even had to go put a video and have that conversation about, I think it's better to just not acknowledge it.
Yeah, because that makes no sense.
It's like they say, if you make a mistake on the radio, don't acknowledge it. Just keep going because 90% of people didn't even notice that you made that mistake until you just pointed it out.
Yeah. Did I just point something out?
The interesting thing that happened, I thought that was very kind of telling, and brings a curtain back a little bit in our industry, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of power to have 18 million eyeballs and ears every day that are waiting for your reviews to come out. And yes, a lot of people base their buying decisions on those reviews. I get it. But like I said at the beginning, all that being said about what is my feelings about the title, none of it matters at the end of the day unless the product is, if it's not going to kill a product unless it's a really bad product. You know, a bad review will not kill a good product. That's what
I'm still looking. Listen, I'm still looking forward to getting my hands on this Humane Pin. I'm curious to see what it can be. There's also the Rabbit R1 that I want to see. I'm curious to see an AI device. But I really think they could probably just put that in my watch and give me the same features. Why do I need another device when I'm already wearing a smartwatch or, carrying a smartphone around with me? That's kind of my hot take on it.
But Samsung, Google, and Apple are already putting AI devices in our pockets. So and wrists, like you said.
Yeah. Pockets and wrists. This is your Tech Report. He is Mitchell Whitfield in Los Angeles, Mark Aflalo in Montreal. Going to be talking about sustainability in just a couple of moments. We're going to start with Razer. They make great gaming products. We're going to hear from them. And then Ford, Ford Motor Company.
Oh, yeah.
Do follow us online. It is at your Tech Report and all our social media. Contact at yourtechreport.com if you want to get in touch. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Your Tech Report will be right back.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.